Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from this week's special guest.
I'm going to ask Josh to come up here. While he's coming up here, I'm just gonna pray. Father, you gave us birth so that we could win. Show us today how we were born to win through your word. Show us today how we were born to win through your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Show us our true identity today. And speak through me in such a way that I'm pleasing to you so that they don't hear from the mere wisdom of man or mere words that come from a man's mouth, but they hear from the power of the Holy Spirit that's transformational. Let us be transformed today by your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So what Josh is doing right now is a representation of how God created the heavens and the earth and the seas. And Josh is representing the prophet Isaiah right now, and he's seated there in the earthly realm, and that's what that hula hoop represents. And Josh is going to start out this sermon reading to you from the book of Isaiah.
Chapter 9, verse 6. A child has been born for us, a son has been given to us. The responsibility of complete dominion will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be the Wonderful One, the Extraordinary Strategist, the Mighty God, the Father of Eternity, the Prince of Peace. Great and vast is his dominion. He will bring immeasurable peace and prosperity. He will rule on David's throne and over David's kingdom to establish and uphold it by promoting justice and righteousness from this time forward and forevermore. The marvelous passion that the Lord Yahweh, commander of angel armies, has for his people will ensure that it is finished. Chapter 11, verse 1. The cut off stump of Jesse will sprout, and a fruitful branch will grow from his roots. The spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, the spirit of extraordinary wisdom, the spirit of perfect understanding, the spirit of wise strategy, the spirit of mighty power, the spirit of revelation, and the spirit of the fear of Yahweh. He will find his delight in living by the spirit of the fear of the Lord.
Now, that was 700 years before, or 700 to 740 years before the birth of Christ. Thank you, Josh. And the beautiful thing about that is the scripture says a child has been born for us. A son has been given to us. Isn't that amazing that God the Father was thinking about you and me really thousands of years before you were ever born? He had a plan. And that plan was for you to be victorious. Because not only was Jesus born to win, but you were born to win.
Yes.
And that's what you're going to hear in the next few moments. Because there's really two general realms that exist out there. There's dimensions. And I'm not going to get into a whole teaching on dimensions, but just basically there's two realms. There's an unseen realm, and there's a heavenly realm, and there's an earthly realm. There's two realms, an unseen realm and a seen realm. And what you have to understand is, you know, God, 700 years later, God was in heaven, and so God came down from heaven, and he stepped onto the earth. And he stepped into the earth and became man in the form of Jesus Christ, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. He lived the life that we should have lived. And he died the death that we should have died in our place. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving he was the Son of God, offering the free gift of salvation. A gift given to you. To anyone who repents, who totally transforms, turns and changes their thinking. To anyone who repents and believes in the gospel, the good news. What's the good news? The good news is Jesus. The good news is that God came down from heaven and became man so that he could model what it is truly like to walk like Him. And so when Jesus came out of the wilderness, here He is, 30 years later. I'm not going to preach about His whole first 30 years. I want you to see what happens, 30 years later. He comes out of the wilderness, He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so here's God in a flesh suit. Here's Jesus, fully God and fully man. He has all of the kingdom, the frequency of heaven, the perfection of heaven, everything that you've heard about heaven, everything that you read in the book of Revelation about heaven, everything that people have seen in near-death experiences, everything, because people have been and seen that realm and come back and have told of it. All the perfection and the beauty of heaven, God was right. It all existed in Jesus. And so wherever Jesus came, I'm not going to step down right now because of the live stream, but picture, Daniel, come up here for a second. I want to use Daniel for an example. Let's say Daniel's right there. And right there, Daniel, right there. I don't want to keep backing up. So here we go. I'm Jesus. I'm coming out of the wilderness. I say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." See, it's at hand. It's near Him. It's that far away. The kingdom's that far away. See, before I even had to say repent, He's already something. The frequency of heaven is already flowing through Him. Something's going on in His mind. He's going, "What is this? Who is this? What is happening? I'm feeling something. Something's different in the atmosphere right now. I had a rough night last night. I didn't have any peace, but all of a sudden I feel calm. This guy's just got something on him. He makes me feel comfortable. He makes me feel loved. But it's powerful. It's not just that He makes me feel love. It's powerful." And then he says, "Come, follow me. We're going to go eat some poke." Well, that was too good of an offer. Get back. He just says, "Come, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men." And what does He do? He comes. He comes because of the frequency of heaven. It's so close to Him. The perfection of Christ. And that's how, this is the whole point of where, where Jesus wants, thank you, Daniel. This is the whole point of where Jesus wants to take us. What He wants to do with us. Because He came down from heaven to model His life for us so that we could live the life like He lived. And He gives us instructions. He gives us wisdom. So that we can aspire to be like Him. So because if we aspire to be like Him, then we will take on the attributes of Him. Because the Bible says to be that you're partakers of His divine nature. The Bible says that you're seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. The Bible says that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. The Bible says a lot of things about how you can be like Jesus and live like Jesus and walk like Jesus, but do you really know what all that means? This has everything to do with your identity. It has everything to do, because if you know who you are, then you'll know. See, the Gowan's children, they know who they are. Because Michael knows who he is, then he knows how he's going to walk. He knows how he's going to walk out the door, and he knows how he's going to walk back in. He knows what he's going to do and how he's going to do it, because he knows who he is. But some of the times our identity is wrapped up in our spouse. Sometimes our identity may be wrapped up in sports, may be wrapped up in our children. Our identity may be wrapped up in entertainment. Our identity may be wrapped up in our work, our performance, and now in money and the pursuit of money. And there's nothing wrong with money. I love to have money to be able to advance the kingdom. But I can't put money before what my real identity is in Christ. Yes. And that's anything. We can't put food. We can't love food more than we love Jesus. That's why He said when you fast, not if you fast. Today's about your identity in Christ. Because if I can get you to see your identity in Christ and get a revelation of your identity in Christ, that's all that matters. And see, and then be able to connect it to what your inheritance is as a result and how you'll be able to walk, it'll make all the difference. Because most people don't know who they are. Most people don't know what is even in them. And most people don't even know where they came from. First of all, I just showed you where you come from. Josh read it. Now, we've got to figure out what we were meant, to be. And your identity is in Jesus. You know, Jesus said in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, he said, "Go ye therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the age." So everybody loves that, and every Protestant preacher preaches that all over America. Go ye therefore make disciples of all nations and baptize them. And that's all hunky-dory, and everybody loves it. But you know, do we really get to the nuts and bolts of what Jesus was saying? He was saying, teaching them to obey all that I commanded. And so you may be asking, well, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Because what that means is we have to pay attention to the details. Every little thing. Pay attention to details. Teach them to obey all that I commanded. Now we got to connect dots. So Matthew 28 is not a standalone verse. That's just not the Great Commission that we throw out there. That connects back and it's tied to Matthew 5 through 10. So you have to take Matthew 5 through 10 and you have to read Matthew 5 through 10 and you have to read Matthew 5 through 10 again, and then you have to read Matthew 5 through 10 again, and then you have to read Matthew 5 through 10 again, and then you highlight Matthew 5 through 10 again, and then you take notes on the outside of it again, and then you read it again, and pretty soon, because you do it again and again and again, guess what? It gets in you. You know why I can sing every song from the 1980s? Not Christian songs. Every other song. You can put an 80, I mean, you can get Sirius XM or whatever and just throw 80s music on in the car, man. I can sing every single line of everything. You know why? Because I sang it in the 80s one time. And then I sang it the next day, and then I sang it the next day, and the next day, and the next day. It's the same reason why I can sit here and go, "I'll tell you about a story about a man named Jed. Poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. Then one day he was shooting for some food. Up from the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is. Black gold. Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know, Jed's a millionaire. Kinfolk said, 'Jed, move away from there.' Said, 'California is the place you ought to be.' So they loaded up the truck and moved to Beverly Hills, that is. Swimming pools, movie stars. Ladies and gentlemen, the Beverly Hillbillies." Okay, I didn't memorize that last night. That came from watching that program every day over and over and over and over for years as a child. So when you read Matthew 5 through 10, you don't read it once. You read it over and over and over and over and over again. And then the scripture starts coming out of you. And the word becomes powerful like a double-edged sword, and it pierces all the way down and divides body and soul, and it just goes down into the marrow. Changes people's lives. So how can you be that way? I'm telling you, anybody can be that way. Because you are born to win. But you got to know what Jesus expects out of us. What he wants from you. Because he does want something from you. He really does. Relationship is a two-way street. You don't just get Jesus and then he doesn't expect anything from you. Right. He does. So let's look and see what it is. Because if I'm born to win, I want to know from the winner. Yeah. From the one who's victorious over everything. I want the best coach to teach me how to be the best coach. Yes. I want him to teach me how to be the best player and the best coach. Because you're not just a player in the game of life. You're also a coach in the game of life because you're called to make disciples as well. So who would you rather have than the best coach to learn from? Do you want an average coach? No. You want the guy that's had more wins than anybody else. So let's go to it. It's John 14. His name's Jesus. It ain't Danny, by the way. It's Jesus. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, explain, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the next to the Father except through union with me. So we all want to get to the Father. Everybody has a yearning to get to the Father. You know, the biggest problem in our society, in the family unit, is father wounds. You know, next month, at the end of next month, is the Her Voice Freedom Rally. You want to be at the, not only women, you don't want to just be at the Freedom Rally. You want to use your gathering power, because you're gatherers and you're really good at gathering. And you want to use that gathering power to get as many women at this Freedom Conference as you can, the Her Voice Freedom Conference, Her Voice Freedom Rally, because I know what they are. I go to all of them. I missed last Thursday's in Philadelphia because I was here. But my wife was in Philadelphia and a lady got healed of blindness. In January, a lady got healed of blindness. And she came to another ministry conference we're at 2 weeks later, and she left her seeing odd dog home in Houston for the first time. Her 11-year-old dog had never been off away from her side and was having anxiety attacks because she left it in Houston because she could not. She said, I could not bring my dog here. I have to obey Jesus and come alone. It's powerful. So that's happening at those rallies. And I can see it with my own eyes. Some of these rallies are some of those powerful moves of God I've ever seen in my life. Ever. And you want to be here at the end of the month, ladies, but you don't want to be here alone. Get every woman you can to this thing ought to be packed out, standing room only, with women at the end of the month. I can't wait to see it, because I'm going to be here and Diane's going to be here. The person who leads this movement is one of our best friends. I've known her since late 1999. She's a powerful woman of God. And all of our leaders that are flying in too. It's just going to be amazing. So there's my Her Voice pitch. What got me off on that? What was it?
Father wounds.
Thank you. Because every girl, every woman, you know, that didn't have a father that showed them the love of God, they got father wounds. So, you know, men that didn't have a great father or father abandoned them, they have father wounds. In all of our pastoral counseling that we do, the most common thing that I ever face is father wounds. When I do an Experiencing Freedom conference, the biggest thing that I ever face overall is father wounds. The biggest thing in a Her Voice Freedom Rally that we ever deal with women is father wounds. Because we've had fathers that haven't modeled this thing right. They didn't model Jesus because they were watching the Beverly Hillbillies the whole time. And they weren't reading this word. And so they were acting out Dukes of Hazzard style type stuff. They were acting, that's old school. But, you know, they were acting out, you know, what modern entertainment has taught them. Not what the Bible has taught them. And so there's all these father wounds. Why? Because every child is supposed to have a father that is responsible for modeling God to their child so their God can see their father, can see the father through their father because of who he is, and they want to be like him. My boys ever wanted to be was like me. And I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you that's because my dad was my hero and I wanted to be like my dad. And my dad said, son, my goal is to launch you further than I ever went so that you can launch your sons further than you ever went. And so God wrecked me and changed my life and helped me get on track to be the best father I could, to be the best example of Jesus into my boys' lives so that they would see me in such a way that I could point to the Father and say, everything you're seeing with me, my job is to really point you to Him. Because I'm going to step out. When you get in high school and you start making even bigger decisions and you go out to college, I won't be there. You've got to have a relationship with Him. I'm just modeling it for you. But not everybody gets that. But here's the good news. God can redeem that. Because that's where we lose our identity because we didn't have that. Even young girls, you know, they're confused. You know, go home, church is great, but nothing at home, stuff going at home doesn't match up. Those are father wounds, family wounds. Things aren't getting modeled correctly. And so parents you got to fight for your family so that kids can find their identity in Christ. And screaming and hollering does not help at all. My boys didn't see their mom and I fight. Why? Because that was done in the back bedroom if we had disagreements. Well, isn't it healthy to show your kids, you know, that you can fight and reconcile? And all that? No! It's not! If you fight, you go back to the bedroom, lock the door, and don't let your kids hear it at all. Because it opens the door for the enemy, because they start thinking they did something wrong now. And then, and you know, the enemy just attacks them with fear. So, we wonder why we got identity problems out there. It's because the family unit is not being modeled correctly. But I'm here to tell you, if we start getting today down, and our identity in Christ down, we'll get every family in this church turned around. Start getting every family in this city turned around. But it starts with us. Starts with you. Starts with me. That we know our true identity in Christ, so our children can know their true identity in Christ. Because if they do, they can't refuse what's in here. They can't refuse it. Just like when I was on drugs and lived with a cocaine drug dealer in college, I couldn't refuse the cocaine. I couldn't refuse it. Why? Because it was right in front of me. And it was euphoric. And I was like a monkey, and I want to go right back and have more. Why? Because it was because that's what I knew. That was what was handed to me. Little did I know that there was something better than cocaine. And it was right here in this word. And that's made me like a monkey all over again. Because my little monkey mate called Danny's going right here. I don't go to cocaine. I go right here and get better than cocaine. Yes. But I got to snort it. I got to get it in me. I can't. It doesn't sit there. It's got to go in me.
Yes. Come on, baby.
So I've got to press forward because this is the long service. I guess we're getting to 15%. Identity is huge. Union with God. Let's go to John 14, verse 15 through 17. Jesus said, "Loving me empowers you to obey my commands." Think about that. Loving, he said, loving me empowers you to obey my commands. Oh, what are those commands, Danny? I'm glad you asked. Matthew 5 through 10. Get it in you. So, because here's what will happen. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me, and he will never leave you." This is a representation of what that's like. If you get this, he said right there, "Loving me empowers you to obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and the Father will send the Holy Spirit." So this heavenly ring right here, hula hoop, represents the Holy Spirit. You're on the earth. We're walking on the earth right now. But he sent the Holy Spirit with his wraparound presence. This hula hoop is wraparound presence. As long as I'm in here, see, I'm in him, therefore I'm in here, and I'm the wraparound presence of the Holy Spirit around me. That means everywhere I go now, people want to know who I am. So we tell them. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they follow. See, that's why we can have access. This gives us access into people's hearts and minds. Because we began to get closer to them, and the frequency of heaven resonates within their heart. And they're going, "I don't know why I trust you so. Why am I telling you the things I'm telling you right now? I mean, I can't even believe I'm telling you these things. I don't ever tell anybody this kind of stuff." And they're doing it because the Holy Spirit, his wraparound presence is around you, and those frequencies of heaven are touching them. So he says, "For he will never leave you." The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him. See, so the world discounts that because they can't see it. And they don't want to know that. "But you know him intimately because he remains with you and will live inside you." So the one who was born to win, the God appointed to win, with all these attributes that we'll finish up with again, and so I'll remind you, says It will live inside of you. Let's go to the next verse. 20 and 21. So when that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father, and that you are one with me. For I will be living in you. You will know that I am living in the Father. You are one with me, and I will be living in you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Reminder, Matthew 5 through 10. I think Jesus wants you to get Matthew 5 through 10 in you. It's not my fault. I didn't make this up. This is Jesus. See, sometimes the Bible is not hard. Do you realize I don't have a master's degree? I have a master's degree, but it's in physical education. I don't have a theological degree of any kind whatsoever, except for, I do have one. I studied neology back when I got set free and baptized in the Holy Ghost. So it's the only class I ever took was neology. Hope you know what that means. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father. And I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. That means to make myself known. So Jesus is telling you, if you passionately will love him and obey his commands, if you will actually let Matthew 5 through 10 come alive in you, then it's got to come alive. It's got to be memorized like the Beverly Hillbillies. Not every single word, but the bulk of it. You got to eat it like bread, like Pastor Lucas was talking about. You got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no place in the kingdom. Woo! Eat the bread. So you eat this word, and it starts to come alive in you. And all this passion starts taking place. The passion of Christ, the passion of God, passion here. All this passion needs to manifest in you. The one who was born to win. Yes. And so you know what happens to you? You realize, I was born to win. Yes. So I'm a winner. Amen. You know what? You're a winner. You're not a chicken dinner. You're a winner. It's amazing. But you got to start telling yourself you're a winner. You got to start believing you're a winner. Yes. It's all about belief. It's belief. It's belief. It's belief. And if someone's not telling you, you got to tell yourself. I'll tell you the story of one of my track girls, Lindsay Meyer, back in 1994, I had this young lady. She was a freshman in high school. And so she, as an eighth grader, she did real well in track. I'd heard about her reputation that she was really great in track. And she comes, and I'm the hurdle coach and the mile relay coach. And so now she's my gal. So I got Lindsay, and Lindsay wants to be a 100 meter hurdler, and she's got the legs to be a 100 meter hurdler. She's got the athletic ability to be a 100 meter hurdler. But what I saw instantly was I saw a 300 meter hurdler, state qualifier. That's what I saw. And so Lindsay comes, she's in track, and I said, she already had a passion for track, so I didn't put that passion in her. But I said, Lindsay, Lindsay Meyer, this year as a freshman in high school, and then we're in large school division in the state of Texas, the biggest school division, so she had to compete against the fastest of the fastest in Houston and Dallas and all that. And she's a white girl, so now let's get that straight so you understand when you envision all this. So I said, Lindsay Meyer, you're going to go to state this year in the 300 meter hurdles. We may not make it in the 100 meter hurdles, but you'll make it with your sophomore and junior and senior year. But you're definitely going to state this year in 300 meter hurdles. So every day, Coach Mack was looking Lindsay in the eye, saying, Lindsay, you're going to go to state in the 300 hurdles. You're the best 300 hurdler in the state. Lindsay, you're going to make it. Lindsay, you're going to make it. And I just, every day of track season, what do? You got to repeat it. You got to repeat it. You got to repeat it. I'm a winner. I'm a winner. I'm a winner. I was born to win. I'm a champion. I'm beautiful. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm this. You got to make those statements. Because what happened at Lindsay wins district, which that's what we call our first round. Then she goes to regional, which will qualify you for state. Only two people get to go because there's eight lanes. So four regions in Texas. So we're in San Antonio for the regional qualifying. And Lindsay qualifies last for the finals. And so here's this little freshman girl. That doesn't help her confidence because she's in lane 8. She qualified last. And there we are. And I helped her stretch, helped her get ready, gave her a big hug, looked in her eye, said, Lindsay, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like, you just run, girl. Just run. You're amazing. You're amazing. Just spoke that life into her. And what happened to Lindsay Meyer, when she's a freshman in high school, she came around that track and she blew everybody away out of lane 8, which is not normal in the regional finals at a track meet on a high level. And she blew them all away and made it to state when she was a freshman. That's the power of belief. That's the power of your words when you help someone understand what their identity is. And that's what God's telling you. You're going to go to state. You're going to have that house you want. You're going to have that career you want. You're going to have that dream job you want. You're going to have that family you want. You're going to have that thing that you want. Not from a materialistic standpoint, but from the fact that He's a good God and He loves you and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You mean to make that make sense to you? Anybody?
Yes.
Okay. Elijah, come up here. So, I'm going to take Elijah. He doesn't know I'm doing this, obviously, because he has that look on his face. So, let's pretend I'm the Father. I'm God. I'm Father God. The Bible says that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So, Elijah, we're going to assume he diligently seeks God. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So, here's the thing. When Elijah walks, you can walk. I'm with him. I'm his father. I'm God. He can talk to me. I can talk to him. Elijah, what do you dream about? What do you want to be?
I want to be in the NFL for God.
You want to be in the NFL, son?
Yes, sir.
Cheers. It's yours. It's going to happen. What else? What kind of wife do you want?
Someone who loves God more than I do.
Someone who loves me
more than I do.
More than she loves you. Mm-hmm. I've already got her planned for you. I already know what she looks like exactly. I know her name. I know where she lives. She's yours. Just keep praying for her. I'll send her to her in my timing. So, what kind of car would you like to drive?
Tesla.
A Tesla. You know, Nikola Tesla was someone that I gave a lot of creative strategies to. And he said that the future, he told everybody 100 years ago that the future was his. He said, you can have the present, but the future is mine. And here we are today, and there's cars named after him. I think I'll give you one of those. You know why? Because I love you. I'm proud of you. Thank you for loving me. Because I passionately love you. You're a good son.
Thank you.
That is God. That is the Bible coming to life. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He walks with you and He talks with you. In the garden, alone. So, next verse. We may have the organ going for a while. Anybody hungry?
Yeah.
When you fast. So, in verse 20 and 21. So when that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father, and you are one with me, and I'll be living in you. Those who truly love me, I'm rereading. Jesus wants to remind you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. So let's go to the next one. Verse 23. Loving me empowers you to obey my word. Reminder, 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 reminder. Don't get mad at Jesus. He just knows how stubborn we are. Loving me empowers you to obey my word, and my Father will love you. So this is the last night he's with his disciples. But this is the most important stuff he's telling. You know, he's already taken them down the discipleship track. He's already done ministry with them. And he's about to go ascend to the Father. So this is his instructions. They were for us. He said, "And my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place." You know where your identity is? It's in the Father. And the Son and the Holy Spirit. But it's in Christ and Christ alone. And then they come and dwell with you in your temple. And then it proves to you that you were born for victory. Which we're going to finish with. It's going to get good. I don't know if it's been good yet, but it's going to get good. And then we go to the next verse. I leave the gift of peace. Verse 27. I leave the gift of peace with you. My peace. Not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. You think Joe Biden's going to give you peace? No. I mean, Donald Trump's not going to give you peace either. No one's going to give you peace. No political party, no person's going to give you peace. Washington, D.C.'s not going to give you peace. That's bribes, blackmail, and death threats. So you got to learn to live in this land for Christ. Because if you live in this land and try to just think that you're going to be a good old American in the, you know, and everything's going to be okay because you live in the land of the free and the home of the brave, I'm telling you people, it ain't the same land anymore. This is not the land of the free and the home of the brave. I've faced the government. I've been in the snake pit fighting the government at the very highest level. And there was nothing about it being the land of the free and the home of the brave. It was about bribes and blackmail. And it was about destroying people because someone bribed them to come after me and my wife. I know, and it's just not me. I'm not playing the victim here. I'm just telling you like it is all the way across the board. And that creates chaos. Because what you are really in, this is the land of the brave who are fighting to be free. Like Michael Gowan's dad told me that yesterday. So that's a quote from Mr. Gowan's, not Gowan's. I know Michael Gowan's, excuse me. He lives in Lubbock. Mr. Gowan's taught me yesterday. Okay? Peace. Jesus came to give you peace. If you know who you are, he gives the gift of peace to you. Peace in a land of chaos. Peace in a world of chaos. Yes. And even as bad as you think it is here, which, you know, I'm grateful for living in the United States. I travel to Africa and Thailand and Nepal and South America and Mexico. I travel to other countries and I'm grateful when I get back to America, although many times I want to move to those countries as well. But the thing is living in a certain country is not going to give you peace. You know, you can go back to hundreds of years ago and some of the... You wouldn't want to live when you get your head chopped off on any given day. You know, when you had to carry a sword around with you everywhere and someone could just whack your head off. Or, you know, you send your sons out to battle on a horse and put armor on and then they're all dead in a day. So, I mean, then there's the plague. And, I mean, there's so much bad stuff from hundreds of years ago that... I mean, we've got it great compared to some of those times back in history. We live in a great time because this is a time of revival. This is a time where if we see Christ for who he really is and we have our identity in him, there is no chaos because we live in peace. See, in this, there's no chaos. In this, there's no bribes, blackmail, and death threats. In this, there's no poverty. In this, there's financial peace. In this is love. In this is compassion. In this is empathy. In this is understanding. In this is family function. In this is families loving each other. In this is children being at peace. And children being happy. And children loving Jesus and going after Jesus. So, let's go to the next verse. Which is 15 verse 4. In John 15, Jesus starts talking about the vine and the branches and uses that. You got to study that. It's awesome. But he says, "So you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you." So he said, "Remain in life union with me, so I remain in life." So, it, you know, in other translations is, "Abide in me and I will abide in you." So he's saying, first of all, you abide in me. Okay? I'm the vine, you're the branch. So I came here first. I got a thicker trunk than you do. So you abide in me. You got that? You abide in me. But if you do, here's what I'll do for you. all the nutrients of heaven are going to come flowing through this vine into you, and you will bear much fruit. You know why? Because you're born to win. Because the fruit you bear tastes good. And I'm going to make your fruit taste good. Then he goes down to say in verse 7, but if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you. See, I could sing Beverly Hillbillies powerfully. I could sing the Brady Bunch powerfully too. Because it's in me. But if you live in life union with me, and if words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. So here it is. Here's the if-then principle. If you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully in you, see, if you live in union with me, if my words get inside of you, down in here, then what? Whatever you ask will be given to you. He says, oh, you know, we just pray whatever we ask. You know, the Bible says, whatever we ask, the Father will give us in Jesus' name. That's great. Thank you. No, if you do two things, you live in me and eat my words, eat my flesh and drink my blood, or I have nothing to do with you. Because you're going to make your kids full of doubt and confusion and rebellion. And they're going to run off. You're going to wonder why they got problems. And it's because you did not choose to live in me and eat my word. And that's not your kid's fault. That's your fault. But God can redeem that. But it takes you got to repent, and you got to start living in Jesus, and you got to start getting his word in you, and your kids will come around. God will bring your children back. He'll return, restore the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the children back to the fathers. But Father, you got to get your act together. I'm telling you. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to be a mouthpiece for God Almighty today. Because sometimes a strong message deserves a strong messenger. And I'm bringing the message of heaven today to you. And the message is love empowers. But you can't know that unless sometimes you get a strong message and face the truth. Here it is. John 15, verse 9 and 10. My last one. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. See, it's about love. I love each of you the same as the Father loves me. You must continue to let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands. What are those? Matthew 5 through 10. Matthew 5 through 10. Matthew 5 through 10. Just as I have kept my Father's commands. See, he's not asking you to do anything he didn't do. For I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. So he's saying, because I live continually nourished and empowered by his love, you can live nourished and empowered by his love. If you get love in you, because this is love. All of this is love. Everything in here is love. I'm only holding a New Testament right now, the New Covenant, which is all love. All love. Got to get it in us. And then finally, I'm going to ask Josh Jameson to come back up here. Josh is going to step back in to the kingdom. And we're going to take John 17, 21 through 23. And I want you to get a picture of the Father's love and how Jesus prayed for you. Because this prayer right here was for me and you.
I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory you've given me, I have given them. And they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me now, and I now live in them, so that they will experience perfect unity, and the world will be convinced that you have sent me. For they will see that you love each of them with the same passionate love that you have for me.
So if Josh is really Josh right now, we'll say he is in the flesh, this is how it works. He's in me, I'm in Him, and we are one. And the Holy Spirit has His wraparound presence around us. So I'm not going to let Josh go. Nope, no, no, no. I'm not letting you go because I love you that much. Because you abide in me. I'll never let him get too far. He can't do it. Nothing can snatch him out of the hands of me. Nothing. Because my love surpasses everything. And so he was born to win. And I won. I won on the cross. I shed my blood and sacrificed for all of mankind so that you could have the free gift of salvation and also live an empowered life of victory. So you can't escape me because you were born to win.
Amen.
Thank you, Josh. So here it is. Now I'm going to take you back to Isaiah. And we're going to finish this up. Here's what you get. Here's why it's so important for you to know you were born to win. Because if your identity is in Him, the Bible said, Isaiah, God spoke to Isaiah. And Isaiah prophesied that the responsibility of complete dominion will rest on His shoulder. And His name will be the Wonderful One. You get complete dominion. You walk in kingdom dominion. That means if God wants to give you another church, He's going to give you another church called Sunrise because you walk in dominion. The extraordinary strategist. What about strategy? Anybody want some strategy? Yeah. You know who gives strategy? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords give strategy. Ask George Washington Carver when you get to heaven what God did for him. Waking up at 4:30 in the morning, going out to pray, asking God. He didn't read books. God told him, don't read books. Come ask me. And George Washington Carver winds up coming up with 300 different ways to use the peanut to change agriculture, to change crop rotation, to change all kinds of things in mankind. Because he loved God. And God loved him so passionately, he was willing to share his strategies. What about the Matthews bow? Any bow hunters in here that know how to pull a compound bow back? What about the Matthews bow where God dropped that blueprint out of heaven into his lap in a dream? And he comes out of the dream and draws the blueprint and makes the Matthews bow. You want creative strategy? God will give it to you. It may not be a bow or it may not be a peanut. It could be a Tesla. It could be something else, a new witty invention, strategy, a new business. A new entrepreneur, some new entrepreneurial venture. Extreme. It's in you. You're born to win. You're born to have strategy.
Yes.
The mighty God, the Father of eternity, the Prince of Peace. You'll always have peace. He'll bring immeasurable peace and prosperity. That means you're walking in it. You're walking in peace through the worst of storms because you're born to win. Qualifying last for the final, being in lane 8, is not going to disrupt your peace. Because you know, the final gun has not been shot and no one's crossed the finish line yet. And then you run your race and 45 seconds later, you're the winner because you didn't lose your peace and you didn't lose your hope. And somebody that came as a father figure, as a coach, will look you in the eye and say, you're going to win. You're the best. And you go do it. That's your identity in Christ if you choose it. And then lastly, in Isaiah 11, verse 1, When he says the Spirit of Yahweh rests upon him, the Spirit of Jesus is on you, the Spirit of Yahweh is on you, the Spirit of God is on you, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom. Everybody wants more wisdom. It's there for you. It's for the taking. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. You want wisdom? You go through him. You step right in here in this realm and stay there. You stay put in this. And if you stay put in this, this will go everywhere. Just stay put in that.
Yes.
Okay? I didn't say stay put on the stage right there. I said stay put in this.
Yes.
This moves. Just like you do. But you got to get it in you. The Spirit of perfect understanding. The Spirit of wise strategy. Again, the Spirit of mighty power. You'll be powerful. The Spirit of revelation. You'll get revelations from heaven. You'll get pictures and things. And God will show you stuff. And the Spirit. You think, you know. You know what those hula hoops are? That's creative strategy. God's been God's been giving me that strategy for years and developing that and shows me new things. And yesterday in prayer, I'm out by the pool because Julie's probably singing inside and I got to be quiet time. And so I'm outside by the pool at their house and I'm praying. And all of a sudden I see the picture. I saw a picture, and it's Josh Jamison sitting in a chair with a hula hoop. And it's me over there, and it's Isaiah, and goes stepping in that. And it's God's creative strategy to communicate with you how much He loves you and how much He wants you to be, not to give me some kind of cool little sermon, but to communicate with you something so clearly that you can't miss it. And the spirit of the fear of the Lord. He will find his delight in living by the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And you know what that is, folks? Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is necessary till the day you die. Fear of the Lord will keep you out of some bad traps. The fear of the Lord is loving your daddy so much that you would never want to disappoint him. My boys love me so much because they know how much I love them. But my boys love me so much, they do not want to disappoint me. And that's how the Father is. You have to love God so much that you know wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever's happening, you're always thinking, man, I can't disappoint Dad. I can't disappoint God, Abba, Daddy. I can't disappoint Him. As much as tempting as that sounds, oh, man, that sounds tempting. But, man, I know what it would do to Father. It would grieve Him. It would disappoint Him greatly. But see, you have it. You're able to withstand it because you're in the protective zone. The Holy Spirit and His wraparound presence protects you when that temptation is coming. Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Why? And what is that? What does that result in? Victory. You won. So every single thing you do, you win. You were born to win. Stand with me. Stand with me. You were born to win. Because I know you were born to win because I know who you have been designated to be. You were predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus. Therefore, you were born to win. And I'm going to pray for you right now. And today is going to be a day for major, major shifting in some of your lives.
Come on.
Young and old.
Come on.
Young and old. Because God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. And sons and daughters will prophesy. The old men, you will dream dreams. Young men, you will see visions. And there will be fathers in here today that you're going to turn your heart back to your kids. And your kids, some of your kids are going to turn your heart back to your fathers. And everything's going to start coming together. Because you're going to get this word in you deeper than you ever have in your life. And your intimacy with Christ, your intimacy with the Father, and your love for Jesus, and your compassion, and how you show that to the world is going to increase in such a great capacity that you're going to be unstoppable, and it's going to just permeate the entire area. And it's going to be awesome. And people are going to think, man, what's going on at Bethel Chandler? And you're going to go, Jesus. Jesus is going on. We ain't got nothing going. We don't got no special program. We ain't got nothing special. We just got a bunch of believing believers, and Jesus is powerful. And He raises the dead. And He opens blind eyes. He opens deaf ears. And He helps people get rid of oppression and fear and darkness and depression and stuff that's been on them their whole life. He delivers them, sets them free. Then so they can go change the world. That's what's going to happen.
Amen.
So right now, if you need a clear identity in Christ, I want you to bow your head and raise your hand. I'm not calling you up to the front. So everybody, bow your head. I'm going to pray for you. If you need Jesus, not just if you need saved. I'm talking about if you need Jesus right now. If you need to get your identity straight with Jesus, where you know that you got to walk in victory every day and you want to walk in victory every day, you raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, everyone that I'm praying for, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to loosen angels around them. In fact, I pray, Lord, that you loosen ministering angels around them and healing angels around them and have those angels touch them right now. Touch them with the power of heaven. Touch them and heal their father wounds. Touch them, Lord, and minister salvation to them, minister healing to them, minister freedom to them, minister all the power and frequencies of heaven to them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the blood of Jesus heal every single thing in their mind and in their heart. And Lord, I pray that you are instilling right now from heaven powerful courage into these people. Give them the spirit of might and the spirit of power is what I'm praying for them. Lord, fill them up with every good thing that comes from above. Holy Ghost and fire, come down right now from heaven and touch people all over this room. Holy Ghost and fire, come. Holy Ghost, you're awesome. And come down and touch them. Touch them with fire. Lord, show them their destiny. Lord, let them be on fire for Jesus. Light us all on fire, God. We want to live for you. We want to represent you. We want to be royal ambassadors for you, God. We want to burn for you, Lord. So let us burn, God. Everyone that's raising their hand, let us burn. Let them burn, God. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. I pray for their families, that you transform their families. I pray that the generational legacy gets established in their families as a result of today. Where some of them might not have established it, today's the day that it all turned around. Father, give them their children back. Restore their children. Bring their children out of rebellion in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, God. Thank you for these precious people, these beautiful people. And I finally, with this, God, I say this. I give them the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I pray for that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's blessings are upon them because they're sons and daughters of the Most High God. Therefore, their inheritance, the inheritance of Abraham, the inheritance that you promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah, that inheritance is theirs. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.